Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, proud of its ties to Alaska communities since 1977. Learn more at alyeskapipeline.com.
From Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, I'm Ava White, and this is the Alaska Economic Report. In the last week, Alaska North Slope crude dropped from $86.83 per barrel to $85.66 per barrel. The price of West Texas Intermediate also dropped from $81.93 per barrel to $78.38 per barrel. Gold mines near the British Columbia border are controversial because of the potential for negative impacts to the environment and fisheries downstream in Alaska. A nonprofit group called the Environmental Investigation Agency, or EIA, released a report in January that found that these gold mines operate somewhat like a Ponzi scheme. It says these mines are allowing day traders and even Canadian taxpayers to assume most of the financial risk that comes with gold prospecting, while a much smaller group of shareholders reaps the rewards. KFSK's Shelby Herbert has been following this story in Petersburg. So, Shelby, what does this report say about how these mining companies operate?
So the EIA is reporting that there's basically a network of about 500 companies that have direct or indirect stakes in gold mining claims in the Transboundary region. They use something called the prospect generator model, which is when junior mining companies acquire land packages with good prospects for gold or other precious metals and minerals. Then they carry out the initial exploration work to suss out the viability of the mine before the drilling gets started. Then, in order to pool resources and spread out the risk, they'll seek out joint venture partnerships for the claims. These partnerships give a major or mid-tier miner the ability to earn interest in exchange for funding drilling. This model is used by mining companies all over the world, but the authors of the report have noted that mining operations in the Transboundary region operate like the prospect generator model on steroids. Most of these companies in the region are publicly traded and actually generate very little revenue. The EIA report found that a lot of the top 20 claim-holding companies in the Transboundary Watershed region operate at a deficit and generally have a negative trend in their stock price.
So how do they make any money?
Well, the companies certainly make money, but they're small-time investors. That's a different story. The companies in this network are largely funded by stock sales from small investors. There are several Canadian tax incentives that greatly benefit mining companies, like flow-through shares and the mineral exploration tax credit. So the model does turn a profit, even when they're not turning out much gold. Owners and principal investors are making millions of dollars a year and using it to drill hundreds of miles of new holes.
How many of those mines actually yield gold?
A fraction of a fraction, Ava. According to the Association for Mining Exploration, only about 1 in 10,000 exploration projects actually becomes a mine. And most of that risk falls to, like I said, small-time investors and Canadian taxpayers. That's why the authors of this report are drawing a comparison to Ponzi schemes. I reached out to many of the heavy hitters in the British Columbia Mining Network to get their reaction to this comparison, but they never got back to me.
Are there any environmental concerns about simply drilling for gold? I mean, even if the prospectors never find it?
The report says that even the boreholes that don't become mines could hurt the surrounding watershed. There isn't a lot of published information on the direct environmental impacts of mining exploration, but a 2019 study by the Center for Science and Public Participation looked at the effects of exploration at the controversial Pebble Mine in northwestern Alaska. Researchers found elevated levels of aluminum, iron, and copper in the surface water near drilling sites, and some of those exceeded water quality standards. Dissolved copper also happens to be neurotoxic to salmon and potentially prevents them from navigating back to their home streams.
Okay, wow. And what do the mines mean for people downstream?
It's important to note that a lot of these mines are really close to watersheds that feed fish habitat. Take a look at where I'm at here in Petersburg. Enduro Metals mining claims cover an area about the size of New York City, and about three-quarters of that area is within 3 miles of rivers or streams, including the Iskut River, which is the Stikine River's largest tributary, which feeds into the waters near where I am. Several groups in Southeast Alaska are concerned about what pollution from the mines means for fish. A study published in 2022 in the journal Science Advances found a consistent pattern of harm to salmon habitat and watersheds from British Columbia mines. Groups like Salmon State are concerned about declining populations of salmon, as well as ooligan and trout.
Thank you so much for your time, Shelby.
Thank you, Ava.
In Anchorage, I'm Ava White, and this is the Alaska Economic Report.